Thank you for all that you've done in them and through them. And I pray that this 2022 would be a year of double portion increase in their finances. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, happy new year, everyone.
I don't know if they're excited about it.
I know. Guys, happy new year.
Too much partying on New Year's Day.
Like, this is so fun to have us all together as one family in one service. It feels so good.
Can I tell them something real quick?
Yeah.
Hey, so by the way, we're doing prayer at 9:15, and anybody that wants to come and join us every Sunday morning, I want you to come and join us for that. Because, listen, one of the things we believe the Lord's told us for this coming year is that the battle is won on our knees. Yeah. Prayer is so important. And so if you'll come, you'll pray with us and just be a part of that. We would love that. God's moving and
That's doing great things.
That's all
Before
I have to
we
say.
Get started in today's message, I want just to mention a little housekeeping thing, okay? And that is this. If you are a parent of a child that is in our back area, so infant, toddler, preschool, elementary, I'm going to ask you a huge favor. If your child has any type of symptoms that would say, they're just not well today, okay? They're just not well today. Listen, nobody understands the need to have a break on Sunday mornings better than me, okay? I get it. I've walked in your shoes. I was a self-proclaimed married single woman for 6.5 years.
Hey, wait a second. What's up with that? I was on the road a lot.
Okay? I get it. However, and I also know this, too, that in my day of parenting, like, we could take our kids to the nursery or to school and be like, you know what? They just have a cold, or they're just teething. Their snot is clear. Right? Guys, unfortunately, that's not the day and times that we live in anymore. It just isn't. And so, if your child has any type of symptom, congestion, runny nose, coughing, fever, don't take them back there. Please. You could bring them in here with you, or better yet, stay home. Stay home.
Come back.
That's why we have it online. So that if for some reason you can't be here, you can watch us online, okay? So please do not take sick kids back there. Thank you. We love you. And we love your children a lot. And that is all. Okay. Happy New Year. Guys, I'm excited about us starting this new series. Last year, we started the new year off with a series called Detox. This year, we're starting the new year off with a sermon series called Detox. But it's not the same. It's different. And I'm really excited to start off this season today because this is something funny that I've learned from kind of being in the world a little bit, working in the world, is that when January hits, everyone's mind, like, flips. For about 8 weeks. It's true, okay? So for about 8 weeks.
Man, I'm going to the gym every day. I'm going to eat better every day.
Right?
Yeah.
It's so true. When I worked at Starbucks, we couldn't keep sugar-free vanilla syrup on the shelves because every single person was coming through ordering a skinny vanilla latte for about 8 weeks.
I'm right? So glad because that stuff is nasty. Woo.
Okay? Gym memberships soar at this time of year, don't they? Right? Like, I go to the gym 5 days a week, and for January, I just flexed. I know my kids are like, listen, you're flexing. Listen, I'm proud of myself. I go to the gym, and I'm still this fluffy. So I don't know. What would happen if I didn't go to the gym? I'd be even more fluffy, right?
Let's move on.
But, I mean, listen, for these next 8 weeks, when you go to the gym in the morning, like, get off my treadmill, dude. Like, what are you doing here? You're not even part of this regular group, right?
Hey, they actually have to bring out extra exercise equipment
for
the first 8 weeks, and then they put it
back. Yeah,
they
have to take off the social distancing sign so that all equipment can be in use. So, like, there's this thing that flips in our heads, like, oh, it's a new year, new me. I got to do something different. And you know what? there's nothing wrong with that. As long as it lasts longer than 8 weeks, right? Okay? When we make goals to better ourselves, it shouldn't just be a goal until we feel like, eh, who wants to work so hard anymore? Oh, right? There's also, I was looking online, this very common practice at the beginning of the year to go through like a detox of something, like to detoxify your body of things. And I was looking online at all the different like detox things that you can buy.
Pyramid
Listen,
schemes.
Self-betterment, self-health is like a multi-million dollar industry, multi-billion dollar industry. Let me tell you how much money a detoxification system costs. Like to do a 8-day detox, juice detox, we have to buy the special juices, right? You have to buy the special juices. An 8-day detox costs $175. Come on.
And a lot of pain.
Right? They don't even think they taste very good, okay? But here's why it sounds good. It's because we just come out of this season where we're more sedentary, we're more like we're together with people, and when we're all together with each other, what do? We eat, right? We eat. We've fed ourselves in unhealthy ways, and we're like, that's okay, I'm going to eat this extra cinnamon roll because,
amen.
Because January 1st, that's it. I'm going to detox. I'm going to detox from sugars, right? Okay, and the intended outcome is fantastic. It's to make our bodies healthier and stronger than they were when we started, right? So to properly detox from something, we have to identify what we want to eliminate and then replace that with something that is beneficial. So I was looking at, like, how do you detox from sugar? Can you tell that maybe that's an issue for me? How do you detox from sugar? Like, what should you do? If one was going to detox from sugar, she should probably not eat so many Swedish fish. But I said it, okay? But here's what's recommended. That you replace sugary drinks with naturally flavored water or herbal tea, right? Replace sugary snacks like Swedish fish with fresh fruit, okay? Increase your protein intake and decrease starches and carbohydrates. Right? Swedish fish, bread. We have a problem in our house, right? Okay. And when we talk about detoxing from things, we typically go to what I was just saying is like some diet plan or even like some recovery program to recover from some type of substance abuse. And guess what, guys? Sugar is a substance and I abuse it. So I need to detox from it. Okay. But detox is really necessary in multiple areas of our lives. And over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about this. And we're going to go into detail about different ways to detox, to become a better human. Listen, I'm not going to give you a diet plan. That's up to you, okay? But we're also going to talk about different people in the Bible who struggled with the same things that we're going to be talking about, and then how to recognize these unhealthy habits and patterns and replace them with beneficial ones. Don't you think this is going to be a great series? I'm just pretty excited, right? As this week, as I was like preparing for this, I was like, dang, I am preaching to myself right now. So this week, we're starting right where the battle always begins. Do you know where it always begins? In our heads. It doesn't matter what we're doing. It doesn't matter what we are being unhealthy about, whether it's food or substance or our spiritual lives. The battle always begins right here, right in our heads, in our minds, right? So today's message series is called Get Out of Your Head, right? Get out of your head. And we've spoken a lot about this because it's something that doesn't get old. It's because it's been this battle in our mind has been around since the beginning of time, which you're about to hear and what you're about to see. And it keeps coming up. So we got to talk about it, right? Because it's the first area of attack. And if the devil, you know that there's a devil, right? If you believe that God is God and he's who he says he is, you need to also believe that there's a devil who wants to keep you from everything God has for you. God's plan is to rescue you, save you, grow you deeper, and to spend eternity with you. God, devil's plan is to get you away from God, get you to die without knowing God, and take you eternally to hell. Okay? So you got to know both plans, okay? And if the devil can start you to get to start entertaining unhealthy thoughts, he can eventually get you to start acting on those thoughts. Right? Okay? And this is not new. It's not a new area of attack, a new way of attack. It's as old as this earth. The very first time the devil got a human to sin, it started with an attack in their head. It did. Okay? Here's what happened. I'm going to give you a quick recap. God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1. Okay? God created our world. He created everything in it in a supernatural way. You know what he did? He spoke, right? He supernaturally created this earth. He created the water, the skies, the land, the fish, the animals, the birds. And then, like his Mona Lisa on his creative week, he creates humans. Okay? Everything else, he said, oh, yeah, that's good. Oh, yeah, that's good. That zebra, that's good. That hibiscus, that's good. He creates a human, and he's like, that is very good. Okay, there was a difference between what he had been creating and what he created when he created man, okay? And so he creates man, but he doesn't just want humans to be living on this earth as some mindless people who just follow around his commands and desires. He wants people to be in relationship with him because they want to be in relationship with him. So he sets up boundaries. What do we know about boundaries? Say it out. Anyone? Guardrails. They're guardrails. Can they be broken? Yeah, right? He sets up boundaries, but boundaries can be broken. They keep us safe, but they can be crossed. So he gives the man and the woman that he created, Adam and Eve, he gives them some boundaries. He says, listen, you're in charge. You're in charge here. Like, you take care of these animals. You tend to this garden. You eat anything you want except, here's your boundary. Don't eat from this one. Okay? This one, I don't want you to eat from it because it's good. It'll bring death. It'll bring death. Right, so I set up the thing. Okay? Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Here's what it says. The Lord God placed man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. But the Lord God warned them, you may freely eat of every fruit of every tree in the garden except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. Now, it's unknown how much time passed between when God said this to them, don't eat this fruit, okay, and what happened next. It's really unknown how much time passed, but I can tell you this. It was long enough for the man and woman to become close to God and with each other. They had relationship with God. As a matter of fact, when we read on into chapter 3, it tells us, Genesis tells us that the man and the woman would walk, physically walk with God each evening in the garden. That's closeness, right? That's relationship. They had a relationship with him. They talked face to face with him. They trusted him. They knew him. And I think it's really important to understand before we jump into the next part. Okay, it wasn't just like 1 minute he tells them this and the next minute they're choosing not to do it. He told them to do this, but he cultivated a relationship with them. They knew him. They knew he loved them. And he knew them, right? And it's when we're familiar with things that seem normal, right, that the devil likes to come in and shake it up. When things are familiar, and this is just how it works every day, the devil loves to step in and be like, but is it? Okay? He thrives. The devil thrives on challenging what we believe is true and inserting doubt and cynicism. Oh, it is rampant in our world today. Doubt and cynicism. It was in that quiet familiarity of relationship of life that the devil approached Adam and Eve and questioned everything that seemed true to them. We're going to read about it. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, this is what it says, and it's on the screen. The serpent was the shrewdest, that's not a good word, okay?
And he still is.
Of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Of course we may eat from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only from the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. The woman was convinced. Pay very careful attention right here, guys. The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it too. Guys, has this ever stood out to you? If you're familiar with the story of Adam and Eve, has it ever occurred to you that Adam was standing right there with her? Oh, I hear some chuckling because I think maybe you all were under the same impression that Eve was by herself.
And she had to be.
And tempted. And then was like, ooh, now I ate this. I want to get Adam to do it too. And goes and finds Adam and gives him the fruit. Adam, she took some of the fruit and ate it, and she gave some to her husband who was with her. And he ate it too. If I ever hear one of you say anything about, oh, that Eve, I'm going to be, and what about Adam? Right? Adam was just silent. He just stood there in silence.
He was afraid to say anything.
And he ate it. And shall we talk about what the man's role is as protector and identity giver? Oh, okay. The tactics that the enemy used to bring down Adam and Eve are the same ones he uses today. Guys, he challenges truth. Did you notice what he did to Eve? And notice he went to Eve. He was having a conversation with Eve. He goes to Eve and he says, "Did God really say you can't eat of any fruit in this garden?" Ooh. Do you see that? He just threw, he twisted the truth. A twisted truth is a lie, right? He lied. God's provision for Adam and Eve. He challenged that. Is God withholding from you? Right? And he challenged God's word. Then he takes and he twists the truth to make it sound logical. Oh, you're not gonna die. God knows your eyes will be open and you'll be like God. Here's the truth. The truth is that disobeying God's boundaries would introduce sin, and sin always comes with a price. What's the price for sin? Death. In Romans, Paul says, there's a price for sin, and that price is death. God told them at the very beginning of time, if you do this, you're going to die. Adam and Eve modeled exactly what we should not do when the devil is attacking our mind. We should not stand there and have a conversation with him. Adam and Eve stood there and had a conversation with the enemy of their soul. And so, how do we do better? Right? We don't want to do this anymore. We don't want to walk in the same cycles that we walked in 2021. How do we do better? What can we do to get out of our heads and find the truth? Well, I have some ideas for you. Are you ready? Okay. The first one is this. Now listen, we're going to give you some ideas, but you know what it takes? Discipline. It takes you choosing to do it. It takes me choosing to do it. Guys, if we don't want 2022 to look like 2021, and I'm standing here saying I don't want 2022 to look like 2021. Okay? I don't want it to look the same way. All right? Shaq rightfully called 2021 its a raggedy self. Yeah. Right? Come on. Right? And then it goes out with a bang and takes out Betty White. Right? Okay? I don't want 2022 to look like 2021. So what do we need to do differently? Or maybe these things are things that we've done, but maybe not continually. Maybe not all the time. Maybe just when we remember, when we feel like it. So here's some things that we need to do on a daily basis, every single day, to get out of our head and not converse with the enemy of our soul. You ready? Number one, read the Bible. Read the Bible. Why? Why do I need to read the Bible? Because it's the only way to know God's word. We believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God, meaning he spoke to men and they wrote down what he said. And now we have it in our hands. It has been, and hopefully it always will be, the number one bookseller, the Bible. There's a reason for that. It's because we can go on every journey of self, enlightenment and getting to know ourselves and read every single book there is to know on every other topic on enlightenment and self-awareness and inspirational thinking. But only one book has God's plan for our lives written down. The Bible. I don't care what version you read. Find a version you like. You know what? Download the Bible app on your phone and change your version every day. Just read it. Highlight it. Write in it. Having knowledge of biblical truth is the ultimate weapon when the devil tries to twist the truth and change our stability. And you know what? We have this poor example from Adam and Eve of just standing there and conversing with the enemy. And then Jesus shows up. And in Matthew chapter 4, we read about how he did the exact opposite. What did he do? He threw the scriptures right back at the devil. Go to Matthew chapter 4, and it says Jesus. The subtitle says Jesus tempted in the desert. Every situation that the devil threw at him, Jesus said, "The scriptures say." The scriptures say, oh wait, I recognize that thought, devil. Guess what? My Bible says this. I read this today in God's word. Come on, right? Jesus spent time reading those scriptures and becoming familiar with them. Let me tell you, Jesus didn't just know them because he was Jesus. Jesus was a human. Just like you and I. He didn't supernaturally have the words of the Old Testament like tattooed on his brain because he was God in flesh. He was a man. You got to understand that. He was human. He was a man. He had to take the steps to get the scriptures into his head. What did he do? He read them. Every day, he spent time reading scriptures. If we want to know God's plan for our lives, we have to spend time reading his words. Psalms 115:105 says this, "Truth's shining light guides me in my choices and decision. The revelation of your word makes my pathway clear." God's truth's shining light guides me in my choices and decision. This is truth's shining light. Every word of this book is true. And inside of it, we find the revelation of God's word to make our pathway clear.
A couple thoughts I have to share with you on what Paula was just saying. One of the things that our world's doing today is they look at this book and they go, well, it's not all true. And they're changing it to match what their thoughts are and what their lifestyles are. And I'm telling you, this book, that's where the truth is found. And I would say, and the enemy tried to come in and change that, even with Adam and Eve. But this is the truth. And so when you look at that, and also the power of life and death is in our tongue. So when God spoke that into being, God spoke the world, it was done with his words. And I would challenge you, and this is a little bit off the topic, but I would challenge you because the words that Adam and Eve bought into was a complete lie. And so for you, for us, I think we need to start speaking life over every aspect of our lives. Don't ever look anything. I promise you, and I said this if you watch the sermon online, what you're speaking in this season, you may reap in the next season. Catch what I'm saying there? When you're speaking death over your life, don't be surprised in the next season that you're going to reap. That's just a biblical principle. And so what you want to reap in the next season, you have to be sowing right now. What are you sowing right now to be ready for the next season? So we've got God's word. Point number two, and I challenge you, I would do these things every day. Take the first 15 minutes of your day, read God's word. Point number two is worship is our warfare. This is how we fight the battles. And where Adam and Eve got off is they literally took their eyes off of God and they put them on everything around them. Worship puts our eyes back on God. And worship is every part of our lives. Worshiping God is an important part of detoxing your heart and soul. Yes, we should worship God in every area of our lives. But I want to specifically hone in on worship when we come together corporately. And worship music and worshiping God at home by filling. And I want to ask you, what do you fill your atmosphere with? in your house, here at the church. I want to tell you, every hospital room I've ever walked in of somebody that was walking through difficult times, I've told them, put worship music on. Fill that room with worship music 24 hours a day. There's something that happens. God has music. And I think that's so important. I want to also challenge you, music has an open door into our hearts. So it's important that we really take heed on what we're listening to and allowing into our hearts. There's something about music. In every lifestyle, we should in everything that we do, we should worship him. You know what I love is you can't worry and worship at the same time. You can't worry and worship at the same time. So if you're worshiping, you're not going to be worrying. I want to encourage you, use praise and worship to get out of your head. Fill your house with worship. Fill your car with worship. Fill every aspect, every bit of your space with worship. And what I want to tell you is we're living in a world today where we have worship at the palm of our hands. You can turn on YouTube. You can turn on your radio. I mean, worship is there. If you're walking through a spiritual battle, I encourage you to fill your atmosphere with worship music. It shifts the atmosphere of what you're walking through. And I believe that we should be able to shift the atmosphere when we walk into a room, when we walk into our jobs, when we walk. Many of you, you've seen the movie Breakthrough, and we've talked about it a few times. But when Joyce, if you remember, her son had been dead an hour and 8 minutes. Okay, he'd gone under the ice, been in the water for an hour and 8 minutes. She walked into that hospital room after an hour and 8 minutes, and literally the nurses said the temperature in the room went up. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about shifting the atmosphere, okay? The enemy thinks that he has the territory, and when you worship, it shifts the atmosphere. What you allow into your atmosphere will dictate how you feel in the mood that you're in. Many times in the Bible, we saw people who were facing a physical situation fight it with worship. Look at the Israelites. They would literally be worshiping God with the banner. Have you ever sang that song, His Banner Over Me Is Love? From the old days in Sunday school, do you know that the Israelites would use a banner that would literally alert their opponents that they were coming and God was on their side? Worship does the same thing for you and I, filling our atmosphere with worship, okay? It was true of the Israelites time and time again. Think about the Battle of Jericho where God said, go around the wall 7 times worshiping me and those walls will fall. I want to tell you, when you worship God, the walls that are around situations in your life are going to fall. And you're not going to have to battle it at all. Let God do it. Remember, we don't fight flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle. The battle is spiritual, and the spiritual affects the physical, not the other way around. We have to fight these battles in a spiritual way. When the enemy comes, did you guys catch he's the shrewdest of all? He still is. And what's crazy, and we don't want to talk about the enemy a lot, but what's crazy is he's still using the same things today as he did back when we read about this. Nothing's new under the sun. He's a one-trick pony. All right? That's all he does. But we fall for it every time. We fall for it generation after generation after generation.
Not no more.
The spirit affects the physical. We have to fight the battles in a spiritual way. With prayer, worship, and the word. That's how we fight these battles that we're facing. Some of you, you're looking at things around you and you have mistaken. You thought it was a physical battle, but it's a spiritual battle. And you fight it. You don't fight it the same way the world fights the battles. If we try to fight a spiritual battle in a physical way, you're going to be exhausted and overwhelmed. And I'm telling you right now, if you're exhausted and overwhelmed, it means that you've been fighting in the physical and not the spiritual. Catch that. If you're exhausted, if you're overwhelmed, if you've walked in here with just fear and just heaviness, that means you've been trying to fight it on your own strength. And I want to tell you, God wants to lift that off and fight that battle for you. I want you to enter into worship. And even when we get into this place in church where we come to worship God, you can tell by a person's body language and what they do, what they're maybe worshiping and what they're not worshiping. Right? When you worship something, man, you're into it. Right? You're into it. And that's why we say, when we say raise our hands, what that means is you're surrendering. You're giving to God what it is. And so many times we're like this, I'm holding on to it. I'm not going to let go of it. Some of you might go, well, I just don't feel comfortable lifting my hands. Well, here's what we're going to do. Start here, and then next we go a little higher, and then by the time it's done, you'll be up like this. But listen to what Psalms 33, 1 through 3 said. Sing joyfully to the Lord, your righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-string lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. The importance of coming together and worshiping. Do that in your shower. I don't care where you're at when you're worshiping, but sing it out. Some of you go, well, I can't sing. No one cares.
Don't take your 10-string instrument into the shower.
Yeah, no, that might be bad. The Bible also tells us that we're to worship in spirit and in truth. So when we're talking about worshiping God, what does that mean? John 4, 23 through 24. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So how many of you, we've heard that before? You've read that scripture, but I really wanted to dig in. What does it mean to worship in spirit and in truth? True worship must be in spirit. That's engaging your whole heart. Unless there's a real passion for God, there's no worship in the spirit. At the same time, worship must be in truth. That is properly informed. That means, God, I'm holding on to your truth. Unless we have knowledge of the God we worship, there's no worshiping in truth. So we've got to know who we're worshiping, and it has to come from our heart. Spirit and truth are necessary in God-honoring worship. Spirit without truth leads to shallow, an overly emotional experience that can be compared to a high. As soon as that emotion is over, when the fervor cools, the worship ends. Truth without spirit can result in a dry, passionless encounter that can easily lead to a form of joyless legalism, which we don't want that. The best combination is to worship God in spirit and in truth. To worship in a joyous appreciation of a God informed by the scripture. So we know who God is because we go right to his word. The more you know about God, the more you appreciate him. The more you appreciate him, the deeper your worship is. The more that God is glorified in our deep worship. So dig in and not only read your word, but put worship, make worship a part of your everyday experience. And when we come in here, worship God with everything that we have.
And the final thing is this. So we are going to read our Bible. We're going to fill our lives with worship. Okay. And then the third thing is this. Have conversations with God all day long. Do you hear this? Have conversations with him all day long. Hey, all Adam and Eve would have had to do is to go and talk to God about what the serpent was saying to them. They had a relationship with him. They had a face-to-face relationship with him. All they would have had to do was to be like, you know what? I'm going to ask God about this. Hey, God, that serpent over there, this is what he said. But they didn't have a conversation with him at all. Sometimes we use the word prayer and we assume we have to have some particular posture in order to talk to God. Like we have to sit down with our eyes closed and our heads bowed and, you know, and there's time for that, to get away and be quiet and just like have it quiet around you. Okay, there is time for that, but when something comes to our mind, we should talk to God about it, okay? We should, right then. Ephesians 6:18, Paul says this, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. How do you pray in the Spirit? Well, if you have surrendered your life to Jesus, God's Holy Spirit lives within us, right? If you've surrendered your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives within you. And so when things come up in your mind, Holy Spirit's bringing them up and we talk to God about it. We pray in the Spirit, right? Whatever comes to our mind, let's talk to God about it at all times and on every occasion. All right. So I want to tell you this little story, and you cannot think I'm weird, okay?
Did somebody say too late?
Thank you. Yeah. Who do you think it was? Our daughter. All right? You can't think that I'm weird, right? So I kind of told you a little bit ago that for 6.5 years, I lived as kind of a married single woman because Jason traveled a lot. He was on the road about 85% of the time. We were living in Springfield, Missouri, and I was home with my kids, with my 4 children, okay? When we moved to Springfield, Avi was 5, Ryan was 3, and Audrey and Julia were 6 months old, okay? That was my life. We had no family. We didn't have friends. We knew nobody. And so my life consisted of these 4 kids, 5 and under. And sometimes I just longed to have an adult conversation. Like, I just wanted, like, to talk to someone about something other than, like, colors and poop. You know? And so, okay, guys, here it comes. Like, and so, okay, so in the evenings, when I would make dinner, I would pretend to host my own cooking show. Okay? And so I would stand in the kitchen and I would be like talking about the ingredients that I'm going to put in and how great it's going to taste and, you know, like, bam, bam, and Emerald would show up sometimes. And it was, I mean, I would be like, oh, I can get all my adult words out. Right? Because I just wanted an adult to talk to, even if it was myself. But here's what happened. I didn't feel fulfilled because, you know,
and
like,
she didn't get a cooking show.
I didn't have a live studio audience, to, you know, clapping about when I'd bam the seasoning in there or anything. So there was no fulfillment. And so one day, as I'm hosting my, you know, intriguing show, I hear this voice in my head that says, you know, you could just talk to me. What? And again, says, you want to talk? I'll talk to you. God, you want to talk to me? Like, I don't just have to, like, pray and, like, tell you what I need and how I want to grow close to you. Like, you just want to talk to me? And you know what his answer was? Yes. As a matter of fact, I do. I want to talk to you. If you talk to me, I'll talk back. He did it. Guys, I lived for 6.5 years having very few adults to talk to in my life, but guess what? I was fulfilled at all times because I was having conversations with Jesus all the time. And he would just talk back to me. And I would grow deeper in relationship with him and understanding. And then I met this guy when we lived in Port Angeles. And he had come to our church, gotten saved, surrendered his life to Jesus. And I even told him the same story. You know what he did with that story? Well, he did his own little twist on it. So Dave Widmer, anytime that someone would say something, you know, or he would have like a question in his mind, and he would do it in front of people. So God, what do you think about that? And he did, huh? He didn't even care. He didn't care if someone was standing next to him or not. He'd be like, oh, so hey, God, what do you think about that? It was so awesome to watch this man, new relationship with Jesus, but I inspired him from my cooking show to talk to Jesus every day and to get God's ideas on what's going on. So when a thought would come forward, he'd be like, so God, what do you think about that? It was awesome. It was so cool. So listen, God doesn't need us to shut ourselves away. But he does need us to pay attention and listen. You know what? When we're having a conversation with someone, like when I'm having a conversation with my husband, do you know what my biggest pet peeve is? If he's like, right, okay, I'm just finishing this email, hang on. I'm having a conversation with you. Can you please give me your eyes? That's what I would used to say to my class when I was teaching. Can I have your eyes, please? Right? And it works the same way with God. He just pay attention. If we're going to have a conversation, then pay attention to what I'm saying. And this stood out to me this week. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 through 33, let me set the stage for you a little bit. Elijah, the prophet Elijah, had just had a major showdown with the devil, basically, on Mount Carmel. He had a showdown between the prophets that served the god Baal. And then Elijah serves the living God. He had this major showdown with them. God showed up and showed off. And then Elijah, empowered by God, went and obliterated all of the prophets of this false god, Baal. And then he ran because his life was threatened by a woman named Jezebel. And he got scared and he ran. And he went and hid in a cave. Okay? And this is what happened. God says to him, Elijah, go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. So Elijah stood there, and the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. And after the fire, there was a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And that voice said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Why are you hiding? Guys, don't let the booming distractions around you cause you to miss God's gentle voice and direction. He's not going to yell at you. He's not going to scream at you. He's just going to have conversation with you. But if we're waiting for some big ba-boom, we're going to miss him because he's gentle, he's quiet, he's soft and he's loving.
And you know, this idea of having conversation with God is so important. Because what the enemy will try to do is he tries to bring thoughts into your head. Thoughts are where it's at, the battle. And when we talk about getting out of your mind, the Bible says take every thought captive. And so how you do that is when that thought comes in your mind, God, what do you think about this? God, what do you think about this thought that just came into my mind, taking every thought captive, especially when you know it's not of him. Maybe talking about your identity, talking about your future, talking about what you're walking through. That's how, I mean, every thought captive. And we kind of laugh at the fact that or maybe kind of think, well, why would Adam and Eve have conversation with the devil? We do it all the time. We do it all the time. When you entertain thoughts that you know are not of Scripture, and you know it because you know you've been in your word. Okay, God, what do you think about this? What's your truth about this lie that just came into my mind? And having conversations with God, I challenge you, if you own a business, ask God what he wants you to do with your business. Anytime you're sitting down and you're talking about plans for your life, God, what do you want? Those are the kind of conversations we can have. And I promise you, you will see God show up like never before if you ask him what he thinks. And you listen to his direction and his guidance. I mean, we're talking about such a close. And you might go, well, we know all these things. We know to read and pray and worship. And like, this isn't anything new. No, it's not anything new, but we fall out of practice of it. So it's a good reminder if you want to get out of your head, and some of you are stuck in your head, if you want to get out, start worshiping, praying, and getting in His Word, and it'll change everything. And really make it a key. And sometimes it's so overwhelming when you start a new year. A lot of people have 10 or 15 different resolutions. You just need to find out what your next step is. God, what's my next step? So take what we've talked about today. God, what's my next step? Have that conversation with Him. Because growth happens one step at a time. If you look at all the 20 things that need to be fixed, it becomes overwhelming. But we all can take the next step. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads in this room. Lord, we thank You that You love us so much. God, that we can have conversation with You. Lord, that we can get into Your Word. Lord, that we can spend time worshiping You. Lord, that worship just rebuilds our spirit, God. If there's anybody in this room that you say, Pastor, today I'm not living for Jesus. I've fallen away from Him. I don't know who He is. I need to make a dedication. I need to rededicate my life or dedicate my life to Him. I need to give Him my life for the very first time. If that's you, the Bible says it's so easy to do, to believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth and say, Jesus, I need You. I need You in my life, Jesus. I want to surrender. And He takes all of those broken pieces and He puts us back together again. And His incredible plan for our lives start to unfold. If there's anybody here that would say, I need to give my life to Jesus, or I need to rededicate my life to Him, will you just lift a hand up right now? Lord, I thank You, Jesus, that You've given us ways to get out of our head. Lord, the battle is so strong sometimes, and it starts there. And God, I pray that this would be a year, Lord, God, where we can take our thoughts, take them captive and hear what You think about us, God. Lord, that we would be able to get out of our mind. There's people in this room, Lord, they're struggling with so much fear and anxiety and worry and just what's going to happen next. And God, we don't have to worry about that because You've got it under control. And the Lord, the more that we spend time with You, the more we realize, God, that You are peace, Lord, Your joy, God, Your incredible plans for us in the future, Lord. And God, I thank You. Lord, today I pray that not one person would walk out of here feeling heavy, but Lord, that You would lift the load off of their shoulders that they've been feeling. Lord, that You'd allow them to do that. God, that they would allow You to take that load, that heavy backpack they've been carrying, and drop it off, God, and leave it here and walk out a new person. Lord God, I thank You for every person here. Bless them. I pray that they would walk out the week in just incredible incredible peace, incredible joy. Lord, incredible power. Lord Jesus, I thank You for how awesome You are, God. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, thank you for being here today. I want to encourage you. One of the scriptures that Paul, and I thought about this and I forgot to mention it, but praying in the Spirit. If you have your prayer language, I want to challenge you, get it out and start using that prayer language every day, all right? There's going to be power, and God has good things ahead in 2022. We love you. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you next Sunday, 10 a.m.